Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Pair of game fives tonight in the NBA. Pivotal matchup in L.A. Spurs and Clippers tied at 2. Here's Tim Duncan.
Game five is big, obviously, but it's not over until you get that fourth game. The closeout game is going to be tough no matter which way it goes. The one in front of us right now is this fifth game.
Also have a game five from Houston. Rockets with a chance to close out the Mavs. Rick Carlisle's bunch down 3-1.
If you can maximize the number of possessions you get in a game by rebounding the ball and by eliminating unnecessary turnovers, it goes a long way toward helping you win.
All right, Kevin Love will be out the entire second round of the postseason and possibly more, still recovering from that separated shoulder. After consultation with state and local officials, there'll be no game tonight at Camden Yards between the Orioles and White Sox. There will be one tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time. The public will not be in the stands. How about that? Also, the Ravens have canceled their draft party Thursday night, quote, out of respect to the curfew in Baltimore. NFL draft later this week. Some rumors circulating about a player already in the league. Apparently, teams have reached out to the Jets about a possible trade for Mo Wilkerson. It's been a no-show with the team's voluntary offseason workouts. And lastly, as we've been discussing, UFC champ John Jones out on bail after being arrested for a hit-and-run incident. I'm Jay Berman.
This is Doug Gottlieb, and I'm headed to Vegas for Mayweather-Pacquiao. Listen Friday at 3 and Saturday at 2 Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar, brought to you by GroundShuttle.com. Come to the Brazos County Master Gardeners Monthly Garden Program, Texas Learn, Eat, Grow, this evening from 7 to 8. The free public event will be in room 102 of the Brazos Center. Come to the Health for All Health Heroes Luncheon tomorrow at 11:30 at the College Station Hilton. Tickets are $50 and can be purchased at hlth4all.org. The Texas Community Futures Forum is Thursday from 5:30 to 7 at the Navasota Center Bluebonnet Room. RSVP and find out more about this free event by calling 979-873-3907. GroundShuttle.com offers frequent and reliable shuttles between Bryan College Station and both Houston airports. Commute in comfort with luxury shuttles with reclining seats, power outlets, and Wi-Fi coming soon. GroundShuttle.com, let us do the driving. Today, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 66. Tonight, partly cloudy and 50. The Zone Shootout is back, and you are invited to grab a friend and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course each Wednesday evening. For more information, visit the events section at zone1150.com.
The economy in Texas is perpetually in flux, and that means important changes can happen at any moment. And when they do, LoneStarTexasNews.com delivers the very latest within minutes.
The Texas housing sector is showing growth.
New drilling technology continues to...
The governor has welcomed yet another new business to Texas.
LoneStarTexasNews.com, putting Texas news at your fingertips every second of every day.
Sponsored by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned workers' comp provider committed to stopping workplace accidents before they happen. Work safe, Texas.
Texas affords great businesses the freedom to grow. Outstanding business practices affords Texans one of the strongest economies in the country. This is Inside Texas Business.
Brian Bird, President and CEO of Bird Electric, says employee safety means everything.
We focus on three things: safety of our employees, the quality of our work, and the quantity of work we produce. This has been a contributing factor of our great success in the Permian Basin and oil and gas industry.
Inside Texas Business, presented by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned workers' comp provider. Work safe, Texas.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Follow the Zone on Twitter or Facebook.
Follow the Zone on Twitter or Facebook.
Email us your questions.
Email us your questions.
Amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
Get Get connected at zone1150.com.
Check this out. Whoa!
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
We are back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out the whole new season, the season that dreams are made of, at mscopus.org. Lots of good stuff there. Lots of good events. You gonna go see Beauty and the Beast? Cease?
Probably won't have time.
Your show?
Nah, probably not.
Some good ones in there. A little bit of stuff for everybody. So check that out again, mscopus.org. You can hit us up, 229-1939. You can call us, 693-1150. Text us, let us know what's on your mind. One thing on my mind, I'm a little bit tired today. See, I don't know if you noticed this. Uh-oh. I got up early to go record the Today in Aggie History.
All right.
Jingle. I had to go over to the Crystal Park Plaza, and another jingle that you guys will hear later in the week that I can't. It might.
Stay tuned.
It might. I'm not saying it's going to be the greatest thing, but if there's a, I don't know if there's a Best of the Brazos Award for best segment jingle. If there is, I've already won it.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Not even out there
just
yet.
Just give it to you.
Can go ahead and just hand that one to me right now.
What a deal.
You will hear that one later in the week, on Friday, potentially. If you're a Friday listener, you know probably what segment we're talking about. It's the segment sweeping the nation, but that's for later in the week. But I'm a little bit tired because I stayed up till 1 o'clock last night waiting for the Astros to close their game out. I have said that we're going to mention it for every day. It's true. We may end up not doing it because they may do it all summer. But that's that every day the Astros are in first place, we're going to talk about them a little bit. The Astros now... 12-7 on the year, and one of the best records in Major League Baseball. And
only four or better.
They've done it a few. They have timely hitting, which was just, you know, it's kind of odd given that they're supposed to be one of these next generation, you know, analytic teams. Maybe that's the whole point. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's a lot of computers and gizmos and stuff. But the question for you as a baseball guy, are they actually pretty good, or is this just some early season luck? I mean, this is the first time the Astros will – now, it's not May yet, but they now at 12-7, even if they lose out the rest of the week, they're going to go into May with a winning record for the first time in 9 seasons.
Well, I think any time you're 20 games in, you're 1/8 of the season. Any way you look at it, you just can't say it's early anymore because you've set a pattern. You've had enough series – you went ahead, gone through the rotation four or five times. You've had a little bit of ups and downs. The fact that they're playing over 600 baseball, you can't say that it's a fluke. And they've done enough on the road, too. It's not like they've been...
Yeah, well, they're 8-2 on the road.
Yeah,
they've been horrible at home.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying this. You expect over the long haul to play better at home than you do on the road. So I got 8 wins on the road. So and then you look at the division. I always look at the division because the bottom line is you got to play more division games. Seattle, Oakland, Texas. These are not powerhouses. These are not teams that maybe going to get a lot better by adding people. So once again, I think the Astros could compete in their division. Forget about outside. So the bottom line is you're looking at Astros might be able to get over 500.
Well, there's something like 4-0 when McHugh starts so far this year. That guy was dealing last night. And then the other thing is they've done this last couple games, and one thing we haven't seen, and, you know, Jeff Blum is one of the announcers now on Root Sports, and he was talking about one of the things that sets this Astros team apart from the last few is they win close games. And we've seen that this year. Even if another team comes back, the A's came back on the Sunday game, and then last night the Padres came back on them, and they pulled away again late. The bullpen was able to come in, and then they were able to get some clutch hits late. A couple home runs last night from Jason Castro, and I forget the other one was by maybe Carter, but I think it was Colby Rasmus to kind of stretch that game out last night. But it's kind of weird. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out, are they good? Probably not. I mean, I don't think they're really a good – I don't think anyone's going to say the Astros are going to win the pennant. But this is a team that I think they're at least all right, and that may be enough division.
They could be a 500 team. And you look at that. Now, what changes that over the long haul? and I always look at number one, injuries, because particularly pitching and key players. Because over 162 games, if you're an astute baseball fan, you're going to need so many pitchers. And you lose one bullpen guy, you lose one starter, and suddenly everything gets out of whack. And then you can go in those tailspins where you start losing 4 out of 5. Then you win a couple games, then you lose 4 out of 5 again. So number one, I always look injuries. What can injuries do? But once again, what I like about the Astros standpoint is they're not in a division where you're saying, oh, man, these three top teams here, man, they're loaded. It's not like they're in the AL East, where they're off to a 13-7 start or what have you. And you could say, hey, 2 weeks later, they could be 15-16. But they're not in that killer division. So long as they just don't try to get too ahead of themselves and just focus on taking care of business and avoid injuries, which in baseball, and this is my pet peeve in the last 20 years, we see so many injuries in baseball anymore. And I think it goes back to is the conditioning, the lifting weights, what have you. They say guys are in shape all year long, but why are so many guys seem to get hurt during the season? Got to avoid injuries, because my Pirates have gone through that before at different times, even the last couple of years, and they've done well. Can you avoid the injuries?
Yeah, and then they have one last night. Lowry has been flown back home for an MRI on his thumb. He hurt that last night, which obviously would not be good. But, you know, it's one of those things, like you said, after 19 games, you're getting into it a little bit. You know, someone takes it other than the Indians and Padres. Have the Astros played anyone outside the AL West? I don't think so. I think they've played series. The way that their schedule is kind of lined up, they kind of play these big runs of AL West games because they go out to the West Coast. And so they play, you know, like they played the Angels, Mariners, and A's. And then I think they played the A's. I think they played the Angels, A's, Mariners, and then I think they played the A's again, possibly. But their schedule is kind of loaded up like that because they play these huge West Coast things. Like right now, they're still playing the Padres. But, you know, like I said, are they a great team? No, I don't think anyone's expecting that. But I've been surprised with them so far. The only thing I don't like, that was last night, I'm over this West Coast time zone thing. This is ridiculous. I was up till like 1 o'clock last night watching the Astros waiting for them to win. But
Looking at May, and it's suddenly real, it swings in their advantage. I mean, they've got so many home games in May because they go to California, they go to Detroit and Baltimore, so they have 9 road games. The rest are all at home.
Yeah.
So they're in a position where they could, and getting back to what the caller said, they got the Rangers at home for 3, the Mariners home for 3, the A's home for 3.
And
they
got the Mariners for 4, actually.
Yeah, so, 4. Yeah. But I'm just saying is they've got a lot of still staying in the West. Because, once again, that's why I look at your division. Because how many teams do you have to play in your division? And they've done well.
We laughed about it on Friday, but the Astros don't have to play much better than 500 potentially to win the West. Right now, they're a little bit better than that. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. But like I said, it's been fun to watch, finally, if you're an Astros fan. Well,
and they'll get back some of those Astros fans that went were Ranger fans here when the Rangers were doing well.
It was also a good time for them to start getting better with the new TV contract as well. I mean, a lot of Astros fans like me, I'm not a huge Major League Baseball fan, so I don't really pay much attention if the Astros aren't any good. But even if they would have been good the last couple of years, I couldn't pay attention because they weren't on TV. Yeah. They still aren't for most people, but I happen to have DirecTV and I can watch them, which has been a game changer for me at home, being able to watch the Astros a little bit. But we'll see. Who knows? It's been fun so far.
Still like I said, it's
3 games up.
It's no fluke when you've got the eighth of your season really behind you. But we'll see. Can they sustain it? Because baseball, they're in a position now where you as a fan and them as a player, they can't wait to get out there and play because they're playing well. But it's 162 games, a long season. So what happens when they start losing, when a couple of their big studs don't deliver? What if Altuve goes in a slump? Or what if he would get hurt and go into DL? You got to deal with all those
things. Well, if Altuve got hurt, we can just pack it up and go home. I mean, that's pretty much all there is to it. Someone texted, we're in an alternate universe. Houston teams own Dallas teams. So I'm calling my shot. Aggies are going undefeated and winning the national championship. It's from John in Cyprus.
Always just pour something in out of clear blue. You're talking about Major League Baseball. Just
well,
throw
he's
in,
saying it's such an alternate universe. I mean, the Astros owned the Rangers last year. They're probably going to own them this year. The Rockets are about to knock out the Mavericks. The Cowboys are probably better than the Texans, but I don't know how that, you know, big scale. But There you go.
So maybe J.J. Watt will change
it. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe it's going crazy. Who knows? But it's wild if the Astros. All right, from time to time, I give out some assigned reading on the show.
Oh, man.
A good article of the day. It's been a while. I put this on my blog on MyAgination, so if you need the link, it's on there. But on Fusion.net, they did a really good story on Brian College Station's own Breck Shea. About his, you know, he's kind of one of these guys that doesn't like to open up to the media. And the reason I think this story is so fascinating is the guy that wrote it, and it's not a great journalism piece, but it has some things that you probably wouldn't put in most things. But it's just a good dynamic to it because he wrote about Breck Shea based on his interactions in media settings. And then basically someone in the Breck Shea camp, I don't know who it was, got with him and said, hey, look, that's not really what he's like. Come out, go fishing with him, spend a little bit of time with him, and you get to know the real Breck Shea. And I think this is fascinating because we deal with players all the time, and you think you know them a little bit because you spend so much time with them, but you really don't because they're so different in the media settings and outside the media settings, especially for A&M football players, because we rarely get them one-on-one. So they're guarded, and they don't want to do, you know, they're presenting their best side of themselves. You know, they don't want anything. They don't want to say anything controversial and stuff like that. There's a fascinating story on Breck Shea, who for one of the rare times stepped out of his, you know, media bubble. Like I said, the guy came in, they went fishing, they did some other stuff, went out to eat, hung out for a few days. And it's a really good article about Breck, his time at Stoke that didn't go as well as, you know, maybe he had hoped. He came back to MLS this year and is having a great year with Orlando City FC, the new team in Orlando, and has been a solid player on the national team lately. He could figure in the back line for the World Cup in 2018. So, again, kind of an interesting story about one of our local kids, Breck.
That's great.
Breck,
that's good.
Here in the BCS. So, again, it's on Fusion.net, or you can go to my blog at myagination.com and get the link for that. But it's a really cool story. It talks about all kinds of stuff. And he's an artist, Cease. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Breck Shea's doing art. He's pretty good, too. I was looking at the his Left Foot Studio is the name of his studio. He does, like, abstract art. It's one of his pieces. I'll show it to you. You can kind of get your reaction.
Wow.
And,
looks
it's
like,
pretty good.
Looks like something my kids did in fifth grade.
Oh, no way. Your kids aren't that talented. But it's anyway, it's pretty cool. I thought I'd bring it up because he's a local kid, you know, and so and he's been playing pretty well lately. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk Justin Seeley and in baseball, get his thoughts on the weekend, tonight's game against Texas State, and the week ahead. When we come back, so come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the spring with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder, complete with a $300 factory rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $12,195 or 10% down and payments of only $162 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade-in could be your down payment. Normandy Tractor voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage Envy Spa will handle the rest.
Healthier gifts mean happier moms. Massage Envy Spa now has complete Mother's Day packages for under $100. That's a massage and facial. Show mom just how much you appreciate her. Visit Massage Envy Spa College Station in the Tower Point Shopping Center off Highway 6 at William D. Fitch. Hurry in to Massage Envy Spa. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th.
Double the Bellucci Hour and you double the fun. So twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Tex Ags Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gastitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Follow your favorite sports station on Twitter. Visit twitter.com/zone1150.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We are joined now by A&M assistant baseball coach Justin Seeley. Coach, before we dive into LSU and Texas State and this upcoming week and everything, real quick, that was the music for Blake Allemond, who had one of the more impressive weekends in quite some time that I think I've seen out of any one A&M player, not just at the plate, but also in the field. I wonder if you can just talk about how good he was this weekend and how great it was to see him on that stage play as well as he did.
Yeah, I think it's been a culmination of, you know, just a great season on his part, and he put together a great weekend this weekend. Really, a great week at that. I mean, he let off the UTA game with a home run as well. So, I mean, he has been, you know, he's been one of our MVPs of the season so far. He's been a rock right in the middle of the infield, and just played his tail off this weekend, and was in the middle of everything. And you know, if you walked away from that weekend and you didn't know anybody that was, you know, any of the players that were on the field, and you didn't have names on the back of them, you'd be hard pressed not to say that he was the best player on the field. So for the weekend, with on a field where there were a lot of good players. So I'm grateful for where he's at in his career. It's been a long time coming. He's worked really hard to get where he's at, and he's getting the fruits of his labor at this point.
What was the ride back like versus maybe what it would have been like after winning the third game of the series? And really, just what was your general impression overall, you know, coming out of that series? I mean, what was the attitude like on the bus? Do y'all feel like y'all maybe let one slip away from the number one team in the country? I mean, what was the attitude like?
You ride back, and I think the players, our guys, we have a pretty mature team. They have a full understanding of where we are and what we're capable of. And so you walk away from that weekend knowing that we were probably ahead. If there's 27 innings in that weekend, I mean, we were probably ahead in 20 of them. Should we have won two games there? Probably so. But, you know, you walk away from the weekend knowing that we took the game off. We got the game on Sunday, so you know, that takes some of the sting off of losing the first two. But knowing full well that there's probably going to be an opportunity, you know, for us to meet on a neutral site somewhere down the road. And, you know, us feeling pretty good about our chances at that point. So, our guys are disappointed about losing, of course, and we are too. That's never a comforting thing. But I think we walked away from the weekend knowing that, you know, two of the better teams in the country played. We both traded blows. Somebody's going to come out on top. It didn't happen to be us this weekend, but knowing full well that given another chance, we like our chances.
Moving kind of ahead, Texas State today, Tennessee this weekend. You know, coming out of that series, obviously everything is still ahead of you. What's the focus? I mean, you know, practice yesterday. What was the message going back on the road again this week after the midweek game?
Not anything real different than what we've said the whole year. We came out, had a good practice yesterday, and just really wanted to make sure that, you know, I mean, we stay focused on all the things that we have been focused on all season, and that's just being committed, team at bats, you know, make the routine plays, throw strikes, and compete, you know, at a high level as we possibly can. So no real different message to our guys going into this week. Just we got to focus on us. We have to play as good as we can possibly play. A championship team's going to play as good as they can possibly play every day. And so we need to make sure that we get to that level tonight.
Now, last week you had said y'all were looking forward to going down there. The crowd was going to be crazy, and the team had never been there, all this stuff. What was it like? I mean, away from the sting of not winning the series, what was the atmosphere like, and how much fun was it?
No, best college baseball atmosphere I've ever been a part of. I mean, it was that good. Not taking anything away from our fans and what we have, but, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a stadium with twice the size as ours, so that, you know, that makes a difference from the get-go. And there was some pretty, I mean, there were some moments in really all the games where it really built up, and, you know, especially the bat with Ecker and Bregman. I mean, you got two of the better players in college baseball going at it in a tight spot, and they've got the momentum, and it's a 10-pitch at bat, and then, you know, you have Ecker makes actually a pretty good pitch, and Bregman, you know, he hits a double. It's not a ball that's scalded, but it's just hitting the right spot. And so, you know, there was a bunch of things that went on in the games, and then, you know, the hype around for college baseball, the hype around our weekend was really large, I thought. So, it was fantastic. I mean, it was awesome to be a part of, like, just taking the wins and losses out of it, like you said. It was an awesome thing to be a part of, and, you know, something that's going to make your team better going forward. Just, you can't duplicate. I mean, there's no way in practice to duplicate that. There's no way in games. You know, there's no other place to go play where you're going to play in front of 12,000 until you get to Omaha. So it's, you know, it was a really cool atmosphere.
I got to ask you about. I don't want to get you in trouble or anything, but there were some calls that could have gone either way this weekend that seemed to usually go LSU's way. I mean, how did was there some frustration from y'all or from the players, and how did y'all? It seemed like y'all were able to put that behind you fairly quickly, but was there some frustration there?
I mean, there's certainly some initial frustration when things don't go your way. I think that's just human nature, but. If you're on the road, and just like if an opposing team was on the road here at our place, you know, umpires are human too, and their full intention is to get every call right, but they're human, and they're going to make mistakes, and they probably made some for LSU as well, and we just tell our guys, you know, if you're going to leave it in a neutral party's hands, then, you know, you can't know what the outcome is going to be. We have to take care of things on our end, so... I mean, there's some frustration. I'm sure that they probably felt frustrated about some calls too, and that's just the nature of baseball. It's part of one of the things that makes baseball great is the human element, I think. And while Major League Baseball is doing a lot to try and take some of that away, I think that you're always going to need that human element in baseball because, you know, controversy and those kind of things kind of stir the pot and they keep people interested. So, I have no problem with the way things went. Would I like for them to go the other way? Selfishly, certainly, but they didn't, and that's to be expected.
Last midweek home game of the season tonight against Texas State. Can you tell us a little bit about the Bobcats?
Yeah, hard to believe. We're going to play Texas State tonight, a team that has traditionally been really, really good, has given us fits at times over the years. We're going to get a right-hander, Jeremy Hollenquist, tonight. He's kind of a low-slot right-hander, and he's going to give us a good look. And they've got Granger Studdard in the middle of their lineup, who's a strong kid. He's got bat speed, and he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And although tonight may be a tough night to do that with the north winds, freight training. So, you know, I would anticipate a tight ball game just because I don't think it's going to be a night that's conducive to a whole lot of offense. And I feel like Turner's going to go out and give us a really good outing, a really good start, and you know, we'll turn it over to the bullpen like we've done all year, provided he doesn't finish the game. And Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's going to be a game where, you know, we're going to have to handle the baseball as well and have a really good team at bat. So I would anticipate a tight one tonight, and we need to make sure we do all the things to deserve to be on the right side of that.
Yeah, it's going to feel more like an early season midweek game than the last midweek home game of the year out there tonight. Going into another road series at Tennessee, obviously, I know you don't want to go too much into them yet, but what are y'all looking for this week out of the Volunteers? I mean, is this a team that, you know, obviously hasn't had the kind of year that they would hope to have? But what have y'all seen out of them, and what's going to be the thing y'all looking for this weekend?
Well, we played them 2 years ago at their place, and all their juniors were freshmen at that time. And I thought, you know, if we get these guys back on the schedule in 2 years, like, they're going to be really tough to beat, because the freshmen that they had then are juniors now. I thought were really, really good players, and Christian Stewart being one of those, who he is. He's one of the best players in the country. But they just have not had the fortune, or they have not had – they got – beat up by the weather early in the year and lost a bunch of games. I don't know if they just didn't find their rhythm or what was going on there, but, you know, Dave Serrano is in college baseball, he is one of the best coaches in the country. I mean, it's a big deal for Tennessee to be able to steal him from Cal State Fullerton. And then, you know, the recruiting classes that they've had have been really good. And just for whatever reason, they have not gotten it going. So they are very scary. In my mind, they're a very scary team, just because I think they have enough talent to compete at the top of the East. They're just, for whatever reason, it has not meshed, and I don't know what that is, and I don't want to be there when it does. So we need to make sure we take care of our part.
There you go. Should be a fun night out there again. The last midweek game for the fans here in Bryan College Station. Get out there tonight. Coach, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, guys.
See, it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, yeah, particularly with the weather.
Usually,
the last non-conference midweek game, you expect it to be about 80 degrees and take some suntan lotion, not 40 at first pitch, and maybe some rain from the north. But I don't think it's going to dampen the feeling that people have right now for Aggie baseball, because of when you're almost – they're getting real close to locking down a top eight seed, which means they won't have to leave here until they go to Omaha or decide to go to here. But they're getting close. When you look at the schedule, there's only three series left.
You mentioned Texas State. Tonight's the last home midweek game. Next weekend against South Carolina is the last home series. That'll be the last there at home until the regionals. Kind of crazy. The season's it's flown by in some ways. It hasn't others, but
well, there was so much hype to start with. They went 24 straight games. After they win about – when they won the games at the Houston Classic, then you start paying attention to every game. Were they going to match the 89, exceed the 89? Then, of course, they lost the game. Then you had that little lull. Then they come back, keep playing well. The SEC's here. So they've always been in the focus. And now everyone is kind of mentally pushed forward. Everybody look forward to LSU. Now, say what you will, you know, South Carolina's not having a great year. Tennessee, like as he mentioned, only 7-14.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is struggling. So you're looking at mentally, everyone is back at Olsen Field for postseason.
Yeah.
And there's 9 games. There's 9 conference games.
Yeah.
And A&M is in the running along with Florida and Vanderbilt for the number one overall seed for the tournament, and LSU, obviously. Those are the ones that are there. But, okay, let's see what happens.
What A&M fans would like to see, because they haven't seen it the last 2 weeks, I mean, they saw it against Mississippi State in some ways. But even that one, there was the two close games. I think A&M fans would like to see them go out and clobber somebody in a weekend. I mean, yeah, are they going to, you know, absolutely erase an SEC opponent? I don't know. But I think the fans would, you know, they'd like to see him go out and get at least 2 of 3 from Tennessee and win in convincing fashion.
Yeah, they better. They better not go lose 2 of 3 again.
Well,
let's be honest, they've lost the last 2 series.
Yeah.
And of course, it's been Arkansas is now on 5 straight series.
Yeah, and Arkansas is good.
Arkansas is good.
We've mentioned it before.
LSU is good.
It was only a fluke that they lost to Arkansas series. If they play out that Saturday game, they probably win that series.
But
they didn't. And I think that's one thing that would make the fans feel a little better heading into the postseason, if they could go out and have a big showing at Tennessee. But it starts tonight. A&M still undefeated in midweek games. So big for RPI, always big for the national seeds, all that kind of stuff. We'll see how they do tonight against Texas State. We'll go to break. When we come back, time for the high school report. So stay with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. Texas A&M officials are considering more student housing on the flagship campus. The Board of Regents is meeting Wednesday. The agenda includes an executive session deliberation of leasing 55 acres of land at an undisclosed location in Brazos County. This is in addition to the 4,000 beds being built or completed on West Campus. All this follows recent actions by the College Station City Council allowing new construction, allowing 5 and 6 unrelated occupants in the same unit. The latest high density is in Northgate, where Councilman Carl Mooney has an office and initially was opposed.
I would like to see us encourage more students to use fewer cars, to be closer to the university and out of our single family neighborhoods. Yep. We also need to keep drawing people away from 2818.
The council approved for Northgate an 8-floor complex with between 700 and 800 beds and enough parking for each bed and retail customers. As the state legislature is poised to put an additional $250 million into mental health resources, there may not be enough doctors available to offer treatment. Senator Charles Schwertner, whose district includes Brazos County, says that's why offering a loan repayment assistance program is key.
We can put money toward our community mental health services, to our mental hospitals, our state hospitals, but without the workforce to supply that care, we are going to continue to see individuals cycle through our jails and cycle through our emergency rooms.
The state Senate approved the bill, which will give doctors up to $160,000 to pay off loans in exchange for up to 5 years of service. The bill now heads to the House. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Howdy, my name is Megan Morris, fiance of Aggie football offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. Mark your calendars for the Bryan College Station March for Babies on Sunday, May 3rd at Research Park. Take part in the walk that saves babies from premature birth and birth defects. They'll be the easiest steps you and your family will ever take, and you'll have fun too. Join the millions of people who participate to support March of Dimes research and programs to give babies in our community a healthy start in life. Register today at marchforbabies.org. March for Babies is locally sponsored by the College Station Medical Center.
Double the Bellucci Hour and you double the fun. So twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gastitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Team Auto, and Subway. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Play football, basketball, baseball, and softball.
They play on your flagship stations. News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Whoa, welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Larry Bowen. It's time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, the youth are...
They're tumbling and jumping.
Flipping and bouncing
and all kinds of things. This is a busy man who took time out of his schedule to be our guest today, so we're going to get right to it without my usual 5 minutes of kind of blathering on about things. Our guest today is Rudder Boys Gymnastics Coach J.T. Fletcher, and Coach Fletcher is nice enough to be with us in the week that his team will be going to the state meet up in Fort Worth, Coach. I know it's there's like... 18 cities all put together there or something. But the point is, the Rangers are going to state. I appreciate you being with us. Tell us, I love it when we do high school interviews and we get the bells because there's some kind of authenticity to that.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't believe I said authenticity without really butchering it. But anyway, Coach Fletcher, tell us just in general, you and I talked the other day, and I think I'm going to give away some of my preview story here on the radio, but tell us, I thought it was really interesting what you said the other day about the potential for this meet to be really close. I went back and checked, and you guys won. Your boys team is a defending state champion. But, I mean, you guys won in a runaway last year. I looked it up, and you finished with 338.35 points, and Saginaw was next at 332. I mean, that's a huge difference in gymnastics. But you don't expect any runaways this year, do you?
No, sir, I don't. I really like the sound of that, what you said. I wish that could happen again this year. But I think you have three teams that are going to be pretty tight. Of course, my coach's prediction is that number one and number two, San Angelo and Saginaw, will be battling probably for the most part. Rudder, we're looking to be the one to go in and upset somebody. We've been able to hold our own with both those teams during the early part of the season, with the exception of just two events, that if we can go in there and do great on those two events, I think we can be right there with those guys.
The state championships will be Friday and Saturday. You guys, I'm looking at the notes I have and the stories that I've written, but last year when you won, when you look at the Bryan ISD, the Bryan High program that you started and then moved to Rudder, eight state championships. So you guys are used to going to state and having success. I really like the quote that you gave me about you have, I think, four new guys, if I'm not mistaken, that haven't been to state. But I really liked your quote about how you were trying to prepare the new guys and just the electricity, the atmosphere. Tell our listeners what that's like. We have a lot of listeners who probably have never been to just a regular gymnastics meet, let alone a state gymnastics meet. But tell us about the difference and just kind of tell the listeners what you told me about the feeling you get when you walk in that place.
Well, just it's going to be very live. It's certainly much more than what our regional meet was this year. There's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of fans. This is the 49th state championship for Texas High School Gymnastics Coaches Association. And so they're trying to make it a big deal as they prepare for the 50th next year. So we are expecting record number turnout. I think that as you're sitting through one of these meets, the noise level is so loud that you can't hear the person next to you. I think Coach Compton found that out last year as he attended the state meet in Alvin, and it was a surprise to him with the energy and just the noise level and the excitement in the gym.
Right. JT, this question just popped into my head, and the other guys on the sports staff are going to really hate me for asking this question, because if it ever came true, it would be a blessing to you guys and maybe the community, but certainly a lot more work to us. Is there a chance that we could ever see the state meet come here?
Sure. I need to get some some support behind us here and make sure we can find a location to do it in. We did host the state meet in 95 and in 1998 at Bryan High School.
Mm-hmm.
But so, since gymnastics has moved over to Rutter, we don't quite have that opportunity anymore.
The same facility. Let's talk about your team, and I'm just going to read off the names of the guys on your roster. We'll start with Tim Fletcher, and we'll get back to Tim in just a minute, but you also have Austin Chaney, Jacob Marek, Hart Walker, Zach Pollock, Brandon King, Peyton Presnell, and then the new guys, the first-timers are Travis Mize, Matthew Alvarado, Marcus Knotts, and Micah McNeil. You're going to need a big van to get all those guys up to the Metroplex. You have a good kind of mix, JT, and obviously last year, with your older son Taylor being a veteran, you had kind of a more of a veteran group. It's, I don't know if you'd say rebuilding, but you know, you have a little bit of a inexperienced group going up there. I would imagine there's some excitement in that, but also maybe a little trepidation too.
Oh yeah, and you know, our consistency or lack of this year has kind of been our Achilles heel. And, you know, when we're on, we're great. But if we happen to have to count a miss routine for a counting score, or we have to go down to some of the more experienced guys, that's really what will be our setback. However, on the other hand, it's great that these guys are getting the experience, because it's very important for them, especially with Mitch McNeil and Marcus Knotts being freshmen, for them to see what that environment's like and for them to get that experience competing, so you know we can think about years to come.
We talked earlier this week, and you talked about when you had your meet here in town, and San Angelo Central was in that meet, and you guys actually led them through five rotations, and they passed you at the very end. It was interesting to me that you talked about the two disciplines or the two events that are really not the best for your team, and that's the floor exercise and the vault. And instead of going the negative direction, let's talk positive. That leaves you four. But what do your guys do best? Is there something that you specialize in, or maybe somebody that you work with that works with your kids, what is Rutter? I mean, what is there something, event or two that you guys would be known for?
Well, I think our parallel bars this year, in past years, it's been horizontal bar. I think they're from 96, 98, 99. We had three different state champions on high bar. So we got to, you know, kind of dubbed as the high bar team. Let's see, our rings are strong. Really, you know, I could say great things about the four events, you know, excluding the floor and the vault.
Right. I love the rings, Coach. I don't know, you know, it's just one of those things. I've covered y'all's meets. I've watched gymnastics on TV. But when the guys do the Iron Cross or whatever you call it, I mean, that just, there's just something about the seeing that just kind of grabs your attention. If I could do that, if I could be strong enough to do that and lose enough weight to do that just one time, I would feel like I would have completed my gymnastics career.
Well, that's both of us, Larry, because I worked my tail off to get Iron Cross and never really had the strength to do it. You know, my strength was in other areas. But one of our newcomers to the team, he's a junior, Travis Mize. He does a skill called a backup rise cross, and it's probably, if not the best in the state, one of the top three. And so we're really leaning on Travis to give us that big ring score along with the rest of the team members.
We're finishing up with Rutter Boys Gymnastics Coach J.T. Fletcher, who's nice enough to visit with us a couple of days before the state meet. And, J.T., I'm going to give you a chance to be the proud dad. I know it's probably a delicate line that you walk, but your older son, Taylor, was the all-around state champion last year as a senior. Tim, your younger son, was number two in the all-around as a freshman. This year, he will go into the state meet, even though he's just a sophomore, as the number one ranked boys gymnast in the all-around. Man, I feel like I'm just wondering if you can have a few more boys and keep the program rolling.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to discuss that later. But, yeah, Tim is doing a great job. He, you know, it is his to win if, you know, we want to look at him being the runner-up last year. He has had a great season. He's also been very successful in his club season this year as well. And I just hope that he's not too tired or too worn out. Which actually I don't think he is. He's very strong, very energetic, and I think he's really looking forward to going in there.
Okay.
Of course, Tim would trade an all-around title for a team title.
Right. But you said that you wouldn't get the team title without him getting the all-around. So
That's true. We're going to have a strong performance from all these boys in order to have a chance to repeat.
Coach, we appreciate it. The last thing I'm going to mention real quick, I saw on Twitter that the folks at the high school are having a send-off for you. I think they call it a hall parade as the students send you guys off, and I think that will be Thursday morning maybe as you head north. My question about that, JT, is when they have that hall parade and kind of salute the team, do they throw money or is it just a confetti thing?
Well, I haven't seen the money thrown, but it is a very special deal. Again, something our athletic department put together. I believe our girls' basketball team, they were the first one to go down the hall. And, of course, I think for pep rallies, they do the same thing. The band, the drum line comes down the hall. It's very exciting, very energetic, and it's a very nice gesture for the student bodies and for the teachers to – you know, kind of give the boys a good luck as they go by.
Okay. Coach Fletcher, thanks for your time. We wish you the best of luck at state, and we will talk to you again.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There you go.
Going to state, dude. 8 state championships in that program's history. That dude needs 2 more. He'll have a championship ring for every finger, won't he?
Yeah, there you go. That's I'm sure that's probably his goal. Right?
Yeah.
That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractors, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with 4-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these. Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002, remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
It's the season dreams are made of. Texas A&M University's MSC Opus will announce the enchanting events coming to its 43rd season on Thursday night, April the 23rd. If you're wondering what Opus has in store for Aggieland in the 2015-16 season, stay connected to Opus on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit mscopus.org. Bryan Broadcasting is proud to be an official media partner of Opus Season 43.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Your homes for Aggie sports with football, basketball, baseball, and softball.
News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road. Searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire.
Welcome back.
I can hear you.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, and I don't know, were you ever known as the Wichita lineman, Kelly? Was that, you're from Omaha, right? That's close.
I was born there, yes, but I was never known.
You were born in Wichita?
Excuse me, was that really loud?
No, you're fine.
No, I was born in Omaha.
Oh, okay. Well, then, because it's Wichita lineman, so.
I know. I think you know I've never played any kind of professional, collegiate, or
well,
otherwise
I just,
sports.
You know, thought I'd threw it out there.
Though it did come out in a recent family gathering. My brothers apparently were unaware that I played basketball for 3 years of my childhood.
Wow.
They just blocked it out. I was
okay.
So bad.
That's not good.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? Anything good?
There's always good news. What are you talking about?
Well, it's been a heavy news week. A lot going on.
Well,
heavy news.
I'm going to start with a little bit of heavy news. Okay. The student association at NM, the students that are from Nepal, are on campus this afternoon handing out flyers. They're going to have a couple fundraisers for relief for the earthquake victims in their home country. Very sad. You know, the death toll estimates are between 3,300 and 5,000 people, and it's rising. Thousands injured. As you know, the 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck the country between India and China just a few days ago. So these students are talking to Jordan Overturf about how their families have been affected and, you know, what kind of contact they've had with them. So just trying to raise awareness about their plight. So if you look at that story tomorrow online or myagination.com, then you will see a place where you can go to donate.
Okay.
Your entire salary. Aubrey. Okay. So you said, is anything good going on? Well, this is, you know, you kind of touched on it earlier in the show, but it is... it's good for some and maybe bad for others. We're hearing a lot about it on Twitter and Facebook since the Eagle, Sam Peschek, broke this earlier today that the A&M system and its flagship schools might receive the Bevel seal. Okay, if you guys remember President Bowen Lofton in 2011 first mandated that they kind of modernize A&M's seal. Well, here we go, or the logo. This marries the seal and the logos. They're different things, so you can read all about that on the Eagle.
But now the logo will be part of the seal. Yes.
Well, they're just two separate.
Yeah. But currently, the middle of the seal is a T star.
Yes, sir.
And now it's going to be the logo, correct?
Yes, sir.
There you go. It's all about homogenous branding.
Well, and Jason Cook told Sam that it's part of the One Brand initiative that started in 2008 to unify all the logos. So,
yeah.
So everyone can recognize that brand.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Pass due.
MyAgieNation.com, TheEagle.com.
Yeah, check that out. We will be back tomorrow. talking all kinds of stuff, getting you psyched, getting you hype, getting you ready. NFL draft coming up on Thursday. Have some stuff with that. And, of course, we'll be talking Aggies and, of course, Astros, because they'll at least be on top of the division for at least a few more days. It's going to be a great, great summer. That'll do it for us today. Chips up next. This has been Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Join the Eagle Crew. Aubrey, Cease, Rich, Josh, David, Larry, and Primo on Aggie Nation. Brought to you by MSC Opus. Afternoons 2 to 4 on KZNE and KNDE HD3. College Station Bryan. Sports Flash.
Jay Berman, we'll start with the NBA. Going to be a fun night. Two game five.